Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster, a.k.a. the tax man, in studio. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
We're in tax season now. He must be loving life.
That's right. Tax season. Here we are. And we got an interesting update today for us. An update from one of our celebrity corners.
Oh, good.
The Aretha Franklin estate. Mm. And we have some tax matters maybe getting resolved for the Queen of Soul's estate.
Hope they showed her some respect.
So, exactly. Yeah. Better have done that.
That's right.
So just to remind people where we were with Aretha Franklin, this is one of those tales where, you know, I know we've got a biopic out there, Jennifer Hudson, that's going to be starring in the Aretha Franklin biopic. They're going to make a movie about her estate one day, mm-hmm. the rate we're going. You know, she passed away in 2018 in August, and all four of her sons, Edward, Keycalf, Clarence, and Ted, all agreed that she died without a will. Mm-hmm. And so they go to probate, intestate, all four of them are equal heirs, and they agree to name Sabrina Owens, who is a cousin, as the administrator of the estate, to basically keep the peace between all the four brothers.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, 9 months later, what happens? We start finding wills.
Uh-oh.
Handwritten wills.
Uh-oh.
So we find three handwritten wills. One was found in a cabinet. One was found in the couch cushions. You might recall that. That's an interesting little fact there.
Yeah.
And we talked about how under North Carolina law, if it's a handwritten will, it's got to be found in a, you know, important place.
Well, that could be important.
where you keep your important documents. So would that pass muster being in the
Dorito crumbs and some quarters
in the couch cushion? So that's an interesting element there that would apply if it was a North Carolina case. And those wills, the last will was 2014, and it appointed Keycalf as the administrator of the estate, and basically left Clarence out. Clarence is in a group home. He has some special needs mm-hmm. for some mental illness, and so she just said, brothers, do the right thing and take care of your
sure.
brother, but I'm not going to leave him anything.
Right.
You know, which, in all honesty, that's one way to do it. A better way to do it is create a trust for him,
right.
special
uncommon.
Needs trust, but not uncommon.
Right.
So when that kind of took place, Mike, this turned the estate, what I would say, into a little bit of a tailspin.
Yeah.
Because the question then becomes, is Aretha Franklin intestate, or did she die testate with one of these, you know, written wills that were just... You know, if you Google it, Google Aretha Franklin's handwritten wills, you'll see the scrawl that's on these pages. Some of it indecipherable, some of it unclear. You know, there would be a lot to get those documents admitted to probate. And what's happened here recently is that has encouraged Keycalf to take a role of saying, Mom wanted me.
Sure.
Favorite Mom son. Wanted me mm-hmm. to be the administrator. And so in that regard, what he's done is, he's kind of pushed the issue now on this particular estate. And so there's been two developments that happened since we last spoke, because that's when we last left the story. We last left the story with, would these wills be admitted to probate? Would they wouldn't? And the answer is, we're still unclear on that. It doesn't look like they're going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But those wills did have a purpose, and it's done two things. One of which is, we got Sabrina Owens to resign as administrator of the estate. And she did, in a court filing, she stated that, I would only be the administrator of this estate as long as the family was
cool with the
together,
yeah.
at peace, and there wasn't court proceedings that we had to go to. And she says both of which now have come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
The family's in fighting, and now we're in court. So therefore, I want out. And the judge of probate in Michigan agreed
Grant,
and let her resign as the administrator of the estate.
Is that the same as executor?
Yes.
So
there's
she could have gotten a little coin out of that job too.
That's right.
Right.
You know, you can get compensated under North Carolina law up to 5%
right. Okay.
of the estate.
So she says no, you know, no.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. I'm done.
Not worth it. I'm out.
Off the hook.
Exactly.
Right. And the judge said yes.
And then the judge appointed actually a lawyer by the name of Reginald M. Turner, who happened to be president-elect of the American Bar Association, as temporary caretaker of Aretha's estate, and tasked him with three tasks, which is basically continue to work on these deals. And I mentioned the biopic with with Jennifer Hudson, and there's also a television series mm-hmm. out there as well. So go ahead and negotiate those and get the best we can. And you got to deal with this IRS situation that we have here, because Aretha Franklin owed purportedly $7 million at her death between 2010 and 2017. Now, that's income taxes that she owed.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we're looking at a huge estate tax. So those are two separate issues. Mm-hmm. And so she said, you got to get moving on that. And then, you know, we got to get some clarity with the family. We got to start getting this matter resolved with the family. So those are what he's been working on. And it seems like he's doing, number one, those projects are on go. And number two, we have an update, because we have a tax settlement. And this is what I think is fairly interesting in this particular matter, and where I think some lessons can be learned. So $7.8 million. Oof. They paid $3 million initially, so they owed about $5 million. They've paid it down to like $3.7 million at this point in time, because they've been paying a little bit over time. You know, those royalty checks come in, they can start putting a little bit away towards the tax debt. Mm. They've now agreed with the IRS that they would pay 45% of any income that the estate receives to pay those back taxes.
Okay.
So 45. Then they're going to set aside 40%, which that's a key number, and I'll tell you why they chose 40%, in escrow to handle any future tax debt. And then 15% is going to be used for administrative purposes.
Okay.
And Edward, Keycalf, Clarence, and Ted, all the four children, are going to receive $50,000 each. So they get a little bit of money out of this deal. So they're trying to make it work for all parties, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this is an interesting settlement, an interesting deal that the lawyer was able to reach with the IRS, because the 45%, you know, paying back these taxes, that seems to be okay. I mean, it'll get paid off over time. Of course, mm-hmm. penalties and interest are still accruing on those particular
sure,
debts.
Sure, doesn't stop.
The 40% makes perfect sense, though, because guess what that number is? That's the top estate tax.
Brilliant.
So the 40% makes perfect sense.
Brilliant.
And then, of course, you need some money to keep administering yeah. this estate, because it is an ongoing concern. It's one of those situations that's going to keep on growing. But, you know, one of the reasons I think this deal was brokered, Mike, is because when we deal with this at Harvell and Collins, I mean, one of the things that I'm talking about with executors is if you owe back tax debt, or let's say you don't even know if the decedent had filed taxes.
Right.
My answer is, do not distribute a penny to any beneficiaries until we get these tax matters resolved. Now, why do I say that? Because if we distribute money to the beneficiaries and we owe taxes to the government,
you still owe it without that money there,
then the executor could be personally responsible for distributing that money, you know, when he knew or should have known that there was tax debt that was pending.
How quick can someone someone get a hold on whether or not the decedent paid or didn't pay taxes? Is it a lengthy process to learn from the IRS, or is it rather quick? You would think it would be rather quick.
It should be quick.
Right?
You know, there's what's called tax transcripts that yeah. you can order from the IRS to say, number one, you know, did I file? Number two, if you file, what do I owe, if anything? Those right. are called account transcripts. And then, you know, you can even get wage transcripts, Mike. So this is the interesting thing that a lot of people don't know. You know, we talk about how you get a W-2, the IRS gets a W-2.
Sure.
I get a 1099, IRS gets a 1099. Well, they had those records, and they're called wage transcripts. Mm-hmm. And so in the event that we don't have access to a decedent's past tax information, we can request these wage transcripts in order to, you know, execute a return for that individual for right. past tax years.
Right.
So a lot of times when we don't know whether the individual filed, the starting place is, let's order transcripts and determine whether or not these filings have been made. And then if we determine they're not made, you know, order the wage transcripts and then get the filings made and determine what the liability is. And then we have to resolve that liability prior to any dollars going out the door, for, you know, certainly beneficiaries, they're kind of at the end of the line. They get what's left over after mm-hmm. expenses are paid.
Mm-hmm.
But then other creditors as well, you know, we can't really deal with unsecured creditors, credit card debts, medical bills, things like that, because they're at the back end. They're class 9 creditors under North Carolina law. So there's just tax debt has that priority, Mike, that you have to be so careful with. And I think this is a creative solution in this particular matter where everyone has a goal in mind mm-hmm. about how we want this to work for everyone. And the IRS gets, you know, gets in writing under a signed settlement agreement that this money is going to be set aside to, number one, pay the income taxes, and number two, put money aside to pay estate taxes
right
down the road. And then the beneficiaries get a little bit of money,
a little bit
in their pocket,
yeah,
which normally right now they wouldn't be receiving because we have this IRS debt that's looming over this estate.
Uncle Sam would say, give it to me first, and then you guys get
that's
the crumbs.
Well, any good, and now they've got a lawyer who obviously is very qualified, is going to tell you that's just not possible. I know you've got, you need some money to live off of potentially, or you need money to do this or money to do that.
Right.
But we cannot release dollars right now and subject ourselves to liability, or heaven forbid, have to come back and ask you to give me some money, which I know is not going to happen in this mm-hmm. particular regard. So in an administrator, when you're an executor of an estate, you have to be very careful with these tax issues, Mike. And, you know, I think that's kind of the big take home point here is that in this particular matter, they were able to get this nice global resolution. In most estates, what we're doing is trying to make sure that we have those 3 years of, you know, taxes filed, mm-hmm. that we make sure we get confirmation that they have been paid, that we do all of that. We file the last decedent's last tax return, and find out what the bill is. And then, you know, at that point in time, when we feel confident that that has been done, we can move forward with any distributions or, you know, dealing with other creditors who don't have as high a priority as the IRS does in this particular regard.
Very important to file taxes each year and stay on top of the IRS.
Definitely
and
is.
Don't have them contact you. Man, get your returns in, especially yeah. this year too. Get them in earlier than you normally would because of
You and I were talking off air, and I mean, you know, the idea this year is we know we got a stack out there with about 7 million returns from last year and still pending.
Yep.
So you know, you get in early this year so you can get your return processed and get that refund.
Thanks, Andrew. Call Andrew Foster at Harvell and Collins 726-9050. Go into harvellandcollins.com.